Right, good. We're going to be in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 4. So this is, whenever I preach, I always, I've told this before, to have more material than I'm going to preach. Fortunately, the blessing we have is we have people who just love preaching and love hearing the Bible. And so I usually get through most of what I have, even though it's, well, we preach a lot longer than most people here, and we have a longer service and a longer sermon, and I know that. Very rare to have, I average 45 minutes or so, very rare to have that just in a sermon and then invitation, everything else. But I always prepare more so I know the subject better, and so if, you know, something opens up or, you know, in other words, you've got it all there plus some. And so I usually don't finish it, and then I say, okay, I'm gonna finish this in another service, and then I almost never do. There's just so much there, and so much to get to, so I very rarely get to it. But my Sunday school lesson, we were teaching about the ministry and being available for the Lord. Just whenever the Lord needs us, just being there for Him. Just saying, Lord, here am I, send me. Whatever the Lord wants to do, and He'll shock you, we said, when He, how much He uses you, because the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And this is a little bit along those lines, but we're going a little different directions, but just grabbing the end of that lesson and just teaching on something here. The title is, They Had Been With Jesus. They Had Been With Jesus. Acts chapter 4, They Had Been With Jesus. And let me get there. All right. Acts chapter 4, we're going to read two verses, then do a bunch more a little later. Verse 13, it says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, the Word of God, the perfect, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Lord, I've been looking at this book and living in this book, and it's been my life for almost three decades, Lord, and still am in awe of your word that is perfect, that it works, that it changes lives, that it is always true, and thy word is truth, and it sanctifies us. Thank you for the word of God. We praise you for it. We pray you'd speak to us tonight through it. We pray we would your spirit would do the work you have for tonight. Lord, you don't have us just coming here at a ritual. We want to be fed. We are hungry. We need you. And we pray that you'd feed us and we would understand and you'd speak to us and show us the truth of the Bible and help us to live it and be this, Lord, and follow the example. And we just pray for your blessing now, your hand to be upon this time in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lame man healed in Acts chapter 3, basically. They were just going to the temple at the time of prayer, and outside there was a man who just was asking for money, and he was begging. He was lame from his birth. And Peter set his eyes on him and said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the man who'd been lame and he was over 40 years old was now healed, and he was jumping around and leaping and praising God and hugging the apostles and a big crowd. It was a time of prayer. People were coming into the temple, and there they all, they saw this, and they just gathered by the thousands, and as the crowds gathered, and they're saying, "What happened? Well, how did that guy's walking? I can't believe it. That guy's been, I've been walking by him for 30 years," and they were amazed. Well, Peter saw it as a preaching opportunity. He said, Lord's open a door. I got a crowd, and here I am. And so he starts preaching here in this chapter here. In chapter 3 in verse 11, and the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. And all the people ran together under the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And Peter saw it. He answered unto the people, You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why do you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? He gives glory to God, first of all. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has glorified his son, Jesus Christ, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. And he said, You denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murder be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life. And so he begins preaching. All right, there's a ghost there. You're going to have to close that door. It's too windy out there. Matthew, you can just get it closed there. Besides, it scares me. All right, there we go. And so he sees, he starts preaching. He sees it an opportunity, and he gives the gospel to them right there. The big crowd. You know what he was? He was available. God had done a miracle. There was a crowd asking what happened. And he says, I'll tell you what happened. And he began preaching. And he gave the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. When you got someone who will listen and you have the opportunity, it's an open door. Preach the word. And Peter began preaching to all these people Jesus Christ. And he preached that Jesus Christ had died for their sins and all those things. He gives an invitation in verse 19. It said, verse 19, repent that ye therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. And he preaches Jesus Christ. Verse 26, unto you first, God having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And so he preaches Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins. And that was Jesus who did this. Now, were they asking about Jesus? No, they're asking about the man who was healed. But the door was open. And they took the opportunity. I find that when you're available and you'll just believe God gave you an opportunity and you'll speak, well, the Lord said the harvest truly is plenteous. If he's got a laborer saying, hey, boss, you got anything for me to pick? He's going to send you where there's a whole bunch of cotton that he's picking. Because the harvest truly is plenteous. And the laborers are few. He loves everybody. He was willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. The problem since New Testament times has been laborers. Been laborers. And that's one of the only things in the Bible you're commanded to pray for is pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. One of the funniest things that ever happens, and it's been happening to me in this area for the whole time we've been there, this church has been here, knocking on doors and ask somebody, and somebody answers the door, and I say, I'm from the church, da-da-da, do you go to church anywhere? Oh, I go to this church. Do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? Oh, I know I've been saved. And it sure is good to see a Christian out there. The only people who ever come to my door is the cults. And I always marvel, they don't think, you know, I could probably do this. Maybe that's a sign. Maybe you should do it. It's amazing. A lot of Christians love when Christians witness. We need to do more of that. Yeah, we do. And some of us are. Some of the we are, and some of the we aren't. And so they just said, "Here's the opportunity." And so they preached. But can I just tell you, if you're a soul winner, you're gonna have opposition. We preach a whole sermon on this. Every time we would see God did a great work in the book of Acts, and they would have revival, and the whole city would turn out, and then it'd say, but these people came and stirred the people up against them. These people came and attacked them. These people beat them. Every time when God wants to do a work, you might as well prepare. The devil is going to attack people who are preaching Jesus Christ. Every Christian gets attacked, but mostly just sitting on them. Because they're already in the ground. But Christians who are soul winners, they're getting shot at by the devil. And you know what? That's just a choice you'll have to make. Do I care enough about what God cares about, which is the souls of men? Do I love people enough and love the Lord enough to obey him, to become a witness for Christ and take the opportunities he gives me, even though I'm going to be attacked and criticized and the devil's coming after me? And it's always true. It's historically true. You look and you want to read about revival and read about the people who God used to see souls saved. If you also read carefully, you will not just find about the revival, you'll find about the enemies. You'll find about the enemies. And you will find they were all attacked. They were all ostracized. It's so funny. Charles Spurgeon really got back the gospel truth in London, and the London Baptist Association, you had to be part of it, and that was, every church was a part of the London Baptist Association, and because he started preaching so powerfully about salvation and winning souls, and they had wagons picking people up like our bus ministry does and started making a big difference, they kicked him out of the London Baptist Association. Tell me the name of the people who kicked him out. Nobody knows their names anymore. How'd you like to be those guys? But he was running 5,000 by the time he was 22. In the middle of his ministry, you had to get tickets to go to his church because there's no way they could hold enough people. You had to get a ticket to go to church. You had to ask people, do you go to that church? Can I get a ticket to go? And they would wait around the church because you could, because there's no room for anybody. And listen, but he had opposition. He always do. And the opposition comes. In this particular situation, it was a group called the Sadducees. And they came. But I want to say, the Lord brings opportunities for those who want to do something for him. He opens doors. I open doors and no man can shut it. I used to know a guy in college who was just kind of crazy, and he just was willing to do whatever for God, and God just seemed to open every door. It was amazing. I remember this guy, he was going witnessing, and he was just going down a street, and the next building down the street was a Catholic school. I think he literally went to Catholic school just for a restroom break, and just walked in there, and he walked by a class, and there was a nun teaching there, and him and another guy were in there, and they were in church clothes, and they said, and she says, can I help you with the gentleman? She says, oh, we're just out talking about the Lord, and we're just stopping here for sex. She goes, would you like to come in here and share with our class about the Lord? And so he walks into the class and says, sure, and he preached the gospel and has a whole bunch of Catholic kids saved. Says, that was one, the nurse said, that was wonderful. The nurse, the nun said, that was wonderful. Would you like to go to the other classes? I think that would be wonderful to share. And he walked through every class in this school and preached the gospel. Like 100 people saved in one day. That's not why he went there. One day the guy said, you know what? I'd like to have, and this is a layman. This is a Bible college student. He says, you know what? I would like to have a service at the Hammond Stadium and rent it out. I wonder who owns that. He was a car salesman. The next day, the owner of there came in and bought a car from him. He had no idea who the guy was, and he sold him the car. And he says, by the way, what do you do for a living? He says, I own Hammond Stadium over. He says, really? Let me tell you what I want to do there. And the guy said, sure, you know what? I'll let you do it for free. Go ahead. If you can fill it up, it's your deal. Go ahead. Listen. God, the Lord has a lot of mighty works to do. The Lord is still alive. The Lord still opens doors. He just needs someone who's available. He has works to do. You just got to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And they did that. But the problems came. When I used to go in the projects, I learned, and I told you about it in the mission field, but I learned and how that so often they just say, come on up here. But you know, I learned how to be ready always? I learned that in the projects in Chicago. I'd be in the projects and they were just huge buildings, and I'd just be knocking on doors, and they'd say, come in, and you go inside, and there'd be so many people in those houses, and I'd say, well, I'm out here telling people about the Lord, and I'm telling people how to get to heaven, and they'd say, he needs that, you all sit down, and they would sit all the families down, and so I'd just stand up and have a service there, and we'd have a dozen people sitting there listening to the gospel. I didn't come in there to have a service, but if God had them sitting there, and we'd preach and, you know, let them have it and tell them how to be saved. Listen, be ready for God to use you. You'd be shocked how what doors God can open if you'll just be willing to talk when he says, okay, here it is. If you're going to say, I'm not prepared. Listen, they were not prepared for revival. They were walking the temple to pray. But the Bible commands you to be ready always to ask, to answer him that asks the reason of the hope that is in you. You ought to be right now. Be ready to tell someone how to be saved. You ought to be ready in case. So listen, God might open the door tomorrow. Your boss might walk up and say, my life's falling apart. Can you go to church? Can you tell me how to find God? You need to know. You need to be ready and be available for the Lord to use you at any time, any place. You never know. I'm always shocked how often God just, boom, there's the opportunity. But the opposition came. Chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved, they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." The Sadducees were a group of religious leaders that did not believe in a resurrection. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hole. They put them in jail until the next day, for it was now eventide. Now ready? Put them in jail. All they did is heal the guy. Then they said, here's how it happened, Jesus Christ. They put him in jail. But guess, you know what's great about the next verse? Next verse, you know people got saved before they put him in jail? 5,000. More than Pentecost. Amen. Why? Was it a church service plan? No, neither was Pentecost. They were just praying. See, God, people say silly, don't put God in a box. God says what he will and won't do in his word. However, in life, don't think you know what God can and can't do. The Lord can do amazing things if you're just willing to be used. You'd be surprised how when you're willing, God will prepare hearts. You might think that lunchroom is nasty and wicked and all that stuff, but if you're willing to speak, if God has you speak, you might be surprised how all of them want to listen. Just be available. If God says speak, speak, and see what happens. The Lord can do mighty things. The Lord, and find times and look for times. And you know what? We are way too careful. We are way too careful, thinking the laws don't allow it, think our jobs don't allow it, think our... Listen, it was against the law to do what they did. The whole book of Acts is against the law to preach the gospel. And we said we ought to obey God rather than men. Let God provide for you. And you go do what God wants you to do. And when God opens the door and he says speak, you speak if it's going to cost you your job. That's biblical Christianity. Okay? You're not looking for trouble. You know what? The laws all favor us. The Supreme Court, time after time, has favored witnessing. Oh, if you can talk about anything at work, you can talk the gospel. It's been ruled on over and over. You can take it to court and you'll win every time. Okay? If you can talk about politics, you can talk about the anything else. If you're allowed to just talk about open subjects and you can preach the gospel, it's been ruled on 1,000 times. Okay? If God opens the door, you do it. You don't risk souls because you're afraid of a little criticism and flack, okay? You do it, and you stick with it. They came, they put him in jail. And by the way, if we didn't have the laws with us, we have to obey God rather than men. Great, salvation came. They gave this salvation message. Opposition came, but 5,000 were saved. They tried to intimidate them. They called the chief priests, they called the leaders, and they basically surrounded them after they put them in jail and said, listen. It says it came to pass in the morrow that the rulers and elders and the scribes, all the leaders in town, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were not of the kindred of the high priest, as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered to Jerusalem, where they had set them in the midst. So they got the big wigs all around them, and said, by what power or by what name have you done this? And he says, really, you're asking me that? Okay, I'll answer that. Lord, I can't believe it. I've got the whole political leadership of Jerusalem sitting here around me, and they just asked me by what name I did this. Okay, you asked. And they preached. Opportunity. Verse 10, be it known unto you all, that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all. This is the stone which has set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. They said, who asked that question? And they gave it to him. And they preached salvation. Another open door, another opportunity. Now, here's the thing. Here's Peter and John, fishermen. And by the way, trade people generally, many times, were uneducated and even illiterate. You didn't need to be able to read to go fishing back then. Or to be a carpenter. They were unlearned men, it says. They're uneducated. Matter of fact, the two words are unlearned and ignorant. That's describing these two. Look what they say, verse 13. This is meant to preach. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. See, because education, just like today, people think if you got a bunch of letters at the end of your name, all of a sudden, you're superior. And they thought, these people aren't educated. They all have to listen to us. They won't be able to answer us. They don't know the law. They don't know what we know. They've not had all the privileges we've had. They're just ignorant people who say ain't and who say have, wasn't, and was, and everything wrong. And they don't know what we know. And you know what? They're going to back down and realize the educated people know better. And you know what? They didn't. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived their unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they acknowledged of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing by them, they could say nothing against it. You know, a changed life is a very powerful testimony. And when God does a work, it's very powerful. But I want you to notice they took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus. See, being with Jesus, being in God's presence, gives you a boldness, gives you a not being intimidated, a strength. The righteous are as bold as a lion. They were not stumped or stunned because they didn't know what to say. They knew what to say. They talked about Jesus. They told what the Bible said. They preach Jesus Christ. The key? The key's pretty easy. Verse 8. And Peter, filled the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. There it is again. How about chapter 5? And verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. There it is again, the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, you know what? The Holy Ghost is a witness. You know what's great? When you're a witness for Christ and filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is witnessing while you're witnessing. You're not alone. You get to speak. And the Holy Spirit gets to speak. Look at Acts chapter 6. Show you again. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Verse 5. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. Stephen confounded them also, because he had the power of the Holy Spirit, and he spake the word of God with boldness. I want to say this. They were, the people who interviewed these people, their enemies, were stunned and stumped because of God's power, not their eloquence. Matter of fact, it brought God glory because they weren't eloquent. They were unlearned and ignorant men. They're fishermen. They're common men. And that's why they're always so amazed. Jesus somewhere obviously got an education because he read the scriptures in the synagogue, it says. But they were amazed at his knowledge of the scriptures because he was a carpenter. See, the manual laborers, you were generally a manual laborer because you were not educated, just like today many times. Okay? And uneducated back then, they didn't have a public school to go to. Privileged people got educated. And so looking at these people and listening to them, and they say they're not that eloquent, they're not that well spoken, they're not that talented, but they sure do believe what they believe, and they're bold. And boy, when they speak, something happens in here. Whoa. Amazing. These people are so unlearned and ignorant, and they have such power. 5,000 people believed on Jesus because of what they preach. This is crazy. I just want to say, God can use you. God can use you. You know what the problem is? You're too hung up on yourself. Peter and John could have said, we're unlearned and ignorant. We shouldn't be the people speaking here. Is there anybody here who can speak well who knows about Jesus? No. They realize they have a great God. We are way too self-focused. We are way too, it's about us. It's all, listen, like you can limit God because you're not very smart, not very eloquent, not very bold, not very, quit focusing on you all the time. Just give yourself to God and be amazed what he can do. We're way, everything revolves around us. Yes, study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You study the Bible, so you know what the Bible says. It's fine. That's good. Be ready always. But I want to say this. You might not think you're eloquent, but the power of God flows through you, and it'll be enough. The Scripture and the Holy Spirit does mighty things. You might know five verses. Five verses is very powerful. And by the way, by the end of the week, no six. And give God more artillery. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is powerful if you just are available and say, Lord, I need you. And fill me with your Spirit. And Lord, use me in a great way. And quit thinking about what you can't do. And really look up and see what God can do. That's what they did. It wasn't a planned revival. They weren't eloquent and educated. But you know what? God opened the door and they were available and they preached. They didn't even go there with a plan to do any of this. It was just God opened doors, and they said, here am I, Lord, send me. Do you think in your building, there might be one person might want to find God? Maybe? You think maybe in your neighborhood, you think maybe at your job, there's one person who isn't saved who would like to know about Jesus? Why don't you just say, Lord, lead me to that person, use me. And God's going to say, really? All right. But you better not, when he opens the door, clam up. When the power of the Spirit comes, you're bold. Don't stifle what the Lord wants to do by your self-consciousness. Let him flow. You know why they're like that? They've been with Jesus. And you know what you can do? You can be with Jesus this week. Spend time with Jesus. He'll make you powerful. He'll make you anointed. He'll just spend some time with the Lord. And I know we work hard and getting you to read your Bible and pray every day and all that stuff, but don't just do it because it's your system that you do. And I know that helps to be on schedule and that stuff. But I want to say, stop being religious and start loving the Lord. And start being personal with him and just spend time with him. He'll change you. Listen, when you get with Jesus, who is God, he changes you. And he makes you mighty. And you'll be shocked at what you can do. And see, but you just got to be available and you got to spend some time with the Lord. And you'll be surprised what God can do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you. We see this story. They had been with Jesus. Thank you that they were able to see 5,000 saved. Without a plan, without a service plan, without an usher, without a pulpit. Lord, we thank you for your ability to do these mighty things. I pray we'd be available, and I pray we just trust you. And look at your greatness, not our weakness, and see what you can do. Lord, fill this room with your Spirit. Lord, we have the answer. It works every time, Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving him to us. We have the same gospel they preach in Acts chapter 2, 2,000 years ago, and Acts chapter 3, and Acts chapter 4, and Acts chapter 5, and Acts chapter 7, and all these different times they preach the same message. Lord, may we have that right in our pocket, ready to go. May we think of you, not us. May we look at how mighty the Lord is, not how weak our flesh is. And help us to go and just be there for you to use whenever you want us. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Well, the message is pretty simple, pretty direct. Be available. Be with Jesus.